If you have your scripture with you this morning, I want you to turn real quickly to Joshua. I'm not going to preach long, but I do want to share this word with you this morning and next week. Remember Wednesday night, we meet here for our Wednesday night service at 6:30, but we've been taking the first 20, 25 minutes and we've been praying, and then we are sharing the Word of God. I'm preaching through the book of Acts. We'll be at chapter 18, Lord willing, this Wednesday night. Tonight is the beginning of a new era. A new era, we'll call it that. Not an error, but an era. And Heath is going to begin on premises. Youth is going to be tonight from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And if you watch his video, he said, bring your guitar, bring your banjo. He's trying to get on my good side. No, he's on my good side. He said, bring your guitar, bring your banjo. I think he said, bring your ukulele. And he's got this burden for these young people to start to come together and praise the Lord with the instruments. And that's good. That's my heart. And someday all of us older people, we don't let all these younger people do all this stuff. And the sooner the better, in one sense of speaking. But this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Joshua. And I tell you, revival is in the air this morning. And I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled, Dissatisfied with Being Satisfied. Dissatisfied with being satisfied. And if you have your Bibles there in Joshua chapter 1, I want to read some scriptures to you. Reading from the New International Wording, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the east and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I want to preach to you this morning for just a moment about dissatisfied with being satisfied. Most of us in this room, there's always the exception, or some of you listening by or EV radio or watching by Facebook Live, we've heard the story of the children of Israel. And what should have been no more than a 2-week journey ended up being a 40-year period of time that the children of Israel walked in the wilderness. We tend to think of them walking in circles. No doubt they had passed this spot where they're about to enter into the promise many, many times. Many, many times they have walked in the course of 40 years. Many, many times they've walked by this same spot over and over and over and over again. Their feet have trod in nearly the same footsteps. Perhaps their eyes weren't in tune to making the crossing yet. Apparently, in God's plan, it wasn't the right time. But maybe, just maybe, they had got accustomed to living life in the desert, walking in circles. They had got accustomed to no longer working over the flesh pots of Egypt, but now they're living in the desert, they're walking in circles, the Bible records that their shoes never did wear out, and they'd actually have been provided a good dietary supplement, if you would, with manna. And my friend Richard Kingery, he says he knew what manna was. Manna, he said, was pinto beans. Now, I don't know if it's pinto beans or not. Actually, manna means what is it? They really didn't know what it was. They had never seen anything like it. And it was sort of a wafer-like or a flake-type food. But needless to say, they had become used to the manna and the quail for taking care of them for 40 years. They had got used to their shoes not wearing out. They had got used to having water that could come out of a rock at the strike of the rod. They got used to these things. And what happens to us is sometimes we just get too used to being used to. Sometimes we get satisfied with being satisfied. Sometimes we get used to walking in the same circle for 40 years. Sometimes we can get used to wearing the same shoes that don't wear out for 40 years. Sometimes we get used to eating the same old manna time after time. Now, you know, I have a brother-in-law and Gary would eat pinto beans 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. Just give them to him. He's happy with them. You know, and I like them myself, but sometimes I like changing up just a little bit. But sometimes in our Christian life, we get satisfied with being satisfied. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul said, whatever state that I'm in, he said, I've learned to be content. And you have to put that content in the right context and understand what Paul was talking about. But Paul wasn't referring, he was referring to his circumstances of life and his dependency upon the Holy Spirit to take care of him. But Paul wasn't necessarily referring to his relationship with God in that instance. And you and I should never become to that place. Yes, I'm content knowing that the Lord is taking care of me. I'm content in my relationship with God. I'm content in that Jesus has taken care of me. I rest confident and I have that assurance. But understand this, I never want to be content with doing the same old for Jesus every day of my life. Because every day is a new day in Him. Every hour is a new hour. Every day I'm going to meet new people. Every day I'm going to have new encounters. Every day I'm going to have new opportunities to serve Jesus. There is life in Him. Life actually means this. Life, if you look at the definition, means it's the absence of death. Or if you look at death, it means the absence of life. Every single day that I'm living and I'm breathing, every single day that I have the opportunity to live for Jesus, there is something new in my life. And I don't want to be satisfied with yesterday to be what God has for me today. I don't want to be satisfied with what happened last week for what God wants to do this week. I don't want to be satisfied with last year, or I don't want to be satisfied with the early 2000s or the 90s or the 80s or even those great revival services of the 70s. I don't want to be satisfied with those things for what God has got for me today. I want to live and breathe and celebrate Jesus in this day that I have now. I don't want to walk past His opportunity like these Israelites did year after year. For 40 years they walked past the crossing of opportunity. I don't want to be satisfied. I want to be dissatisfied with being satisfied. So what happens in that, in walking in circles, is we have to go beyond our self-satisfaction. We have to, Joshua says here, we got to realize the past is gone. And we celebrate our memories. We celebrate all of the things that's happened. We celebrate them. But there's a quote that I've read numerous times, and I didn't jot down who said this or made the quote. But it says that when our memories begin to exceed, the thought of our memories begin to exceed our vision, then we're on the course to dying. And we celebrate our past and we celebrate our victories. And let me tell you what, I really look back and man, the older I get, you know, the older I get and I know things are changing. Man, I told somebody the other day, I said, what I wouldn't do to be 40 one more time. You know? What I wouldn't do to be 40. Why? Because, you know, after, and I know some of y'all looking at me and you know, say, no way he can be over 50. You know. Cause when I got past 50, man, the things begin to change, and they're changing in a hurry now, and here it is, almost another year is winding down quickly before our eyes, and things are changing, but you know, as much as I celebrate the past, and there are times in that I do wish, there are certain areas of life I do wish I was 40 again. There's certain areas of life I do wish I was 30 again. But you know what? I realize that it doesn't matter if I'm 30, 40, 50, 60, if I'm like my dad, if I make it up to 90 years old, I still want to be walking in every opportunity that God has given for me in that day, in that hour, in that season. I don't want to be satisfied. I want to be dissatisfied with being satisfied, just being status quo with God. Listen, the old saying goes, I want to go out in a blazing flame. I want to go out for Jesus if I'm 90 years old or if I'm 59 years old. I want to go out for Jesus doing everything that I can do for Him. No letting up, no turning back, no quitting, no stopping, no folding my arms, not sitting on the seat, not doing it. I want to be on the move for Jesus Christ. I don't want to be satisfied with this being status quo. And I hope that you don't either. So we can't let our memories become our point of worship. You know, if you read here, if you read the background of this story, if you read what leads up to the scriptures I shared with you this morning, do you know what? God took Moses out at his point of death. God took Moses out and God buried Moses. God buried Moses, and according to scripture, nobody really knows where Moses is buried at. You might know the proximity, but nobody actually knows where the grave of Moses is at. Sarah and I were talking the other night. We were talking about grave markers. She said, you know, we ought to go ahead and just get us one. Just buy us a cheap one and just put it up. Go ahead and put our name and birth date on it. And somebody else can fill the rest of it out later on, you know. But you know, we all have cemeteries, we have loved ones, we have friends in cemeteries, and you know, and it's that time of year, you know, and I'm one of those people that I change the flowers, you know, with the seasons, and it's that time of year to change flowers again, and we go out to where those pieces of granite or marble, whatever that headstone may be, and we'll go out and we'll acknowledge that's where our loved ones are at. And it's not that we worship them, but understand this, had God allowed the place where Moses was buried to be known, God knew the hearts of people. He knew that the people would have worshipped that place. They would have worshipped Moses. They would have worshipped the bones of Moses. They would have worshipped the place where Moses was laid. So God buried Moses in an unknown grave. So nobody can go build a monument over top of his grave. Nobody can dig him up. Nobody's going to find that place to go and worship him. You know why? God can, because Moses was a man. But we have to realize this. God is the only unchangeable presence that we'll ever know in life. God says He's unchangeable. He said, I'm the same yesterday, I'm the same today, I'm the same forevermore, I'm unchanging. Therefore, God is worthy and He alone only is worthy to be worshipped. So, we put aside the self-satisfying worship. We put aside worshiping over our memories. We celebrate our past, certainly. But we don't be satisfied. We don't allow ourselves to be satisfied. We become dissatisfied with our satisfaction. And here's what happens. We learn from failures. You know one reason we like, you know, one reason we get satisfied? Because many times, whatever we're doing, even different tasks in life, you know, my wife is a creature of habit in many ways. When we go out to eat, she is that creature of habit that's almost always going to order the same thing off the menu wherever we go. You know why? She has some eating restrictions, but you know, she says this all the time. She said, "I know it's safe. I know it's safe." You know, there's lots of things in our life. There's lots of opportunities in life that you and I, and including our spiritual walk with God. You know, there's lots of areas of our spiritual walk with God that you and I look at as being safe. And we begin to think about it being safe, and we say, "Oh, I can do this because that's safe." But then the pastor comes along, or maybe the Holy Spirit nudges your heart, whether it's the pastor or the Holy Spirit, or maybe it's somebody else in the church, maybe it's somebody else that you know, and says, "Hey, have you ever thought about taking on nursery? Have you ever thought about taking on Royal Rangers? Have you ever thought about taking on this or that as a ministry?" And you say, "No. I'll just stick to ushering. I'll just stick to greeting out in the hallway. I'll just stick to coming and worshiping and supporting everybody." But you see what I'm saying is sometimes we can get satisfied. And the reason we get satisfied is because it's comfortable for us and we feel safe. But sometimes, not that God doesn't want us to be taken good care of. He does take good care of us. But sometimes we need to get out of our safety zones and get into what He's calling us and wanting us to do, and that we can serve Him and let Him stretch us into what He wants and what He desires for kingdom purpose. Because listen, He stretched a little boy named David. He stretched some boys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He stretched Daniel. He stretched Moses. He stretched Aaron. He stretched Paul. He stretched Andrew, Peter, James, and John out of their little sailboat. He stretches us to go into the things that He desires to do. But it's difficult for Him to stretch us as long as we remain satisfied in our state of being. We have to become dissatisfied with being satisfied. Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said this. Paul said, "I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and they drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them." God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. You see, what God is calling us to do is learning from the failure, not necessarily our failures. Certainly we do learn from our failures, but learning from the failures of others. You see, those children wandered around in circles in that wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years they wandered. For 40 years they walked by that same place, which was the place that they would cross into the land of Canaan. For nearly 40 years they waited before they ever sent spies over to check it out. They thought they knew what was over there. But more than thinking what was over there, they were dissatisfied with going around and around and around. And sometimes you and I, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves. Yes, we're believers, and yes, we're Christians, and yes, we're on our way to heaven. But sometimes we just find ourselves walking in circles, doing the same old thing. Same old thing. There's value to being consistent and persistent, don't get me wrong. But sometimes God's wanting to take us into new things. Take us into new areas. Take us into new ministries. Take us into something different. And Moses and Joshua said it. He said, "You've never passed this way before. You've never been this way before. God's taking you into something that's different. It's been a long time since people walked through the river. And now He's about to part the waters to let them go through. And this generation was going to get to experience in like manner the miracle that the previous generation had experienced when God parted the Red Sea. But they had to be dissatisfied with being satisfied. And here's the thing that we have to do. We have to position ourselves under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Go back to Joshua chapter 1 and read verse 7. He said, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." See, what he was saying is, you gotta follow after the law of Moses. In that era, in that dispensation of time, that was the Word of God. That was the Word of God. And you and I, we have to put ourselves under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "I am the Word become flesh." And when we put ourselves under the Lordship of the Word of God, and then the Word of God will lead us and guide us, and it will take us, and we will not be satisfied with status quo any longer. We will not be satisfied with walking in the same circle any longer. So we find ourselves dwelling in the Word of God. Dwelling in the Word of God. And if you go back to verse 8, he said, "Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and you will be successful." Let me tell you something. I'm not one of these prosperity preachers. I'm not telling you, send me $50 and I'll give you a bottle of snake oil that's going to take care of all your problems. I say, okay, I don't do that. I'm not going to tell you if you do this, you're never going to have any problems. You never going to have any circumstance happen to you. I'm not going to tell you any of that stuff, okay? I'm not going to tell you because I think our definition of prosperity and God's definition of prosperity sometimes are miles apart. But I will tell you this. The Word of God will cause you to prosper. It may not make you rich. You might not have an Escalade sitting out in front of your house in the driveway with a bass boat tied to it and a camper tied to the back of the bass boat, but God will cause you to prosper and me to prosper if we will abide in His Word. So we dwell in the Word. And there's three, as I bring this to a close, there's three elements to dwelling in the Word of God. I want you to see there in verse 8. The first one is continually. Continually dwell in the Word. Continually dwell in the Word. Grab you a snack when you get up in the morning. If you don't have time to get you a whole meal, at least turn to the Psalms. Turn to the Proverbs. Grab you a snack. Get you a good devotional that's based on Scripture. Grab you a snack in the Word. When you go out and eat lunch, put you a Bible in your truck with you. Stick it down in your lunch box. Keep it in your desk drawer. Grab you a snack at lunch. Continually abide in the Word of God. Have you some for supper somewhere along the way. Continually to abide in the Word of God. In this day and time, turn on a, like the man of God here this morning. Turn on a radio. Turn on a TV and catch the Word of God somewhere. Continually dwell in that Word. And then we find that meditation on the Word produces obedience. Because if you meditate on what you read, and you meditate, or you meditate on what you've heard, or you meditate on what you've seen, then listen, the Word of God is going to bring you and me, it's going to bring us into obedience. If we'll think on it. And we'll dwell on it. I had an old preacher friend of mine, he's deceased now, and the first church I ever pastored was a church he planted. And he used to say this, he was a great big fella, and he used to say, "Bless God," he said, "I eat Jesus, I sleep Jesus, and I thank Jesus all the time." He said, "Some people say I'm a fanatic." He said, "But I just thank and believe and sleep and eat Jesus." He said, "Man, that's Jesus." He said, "I see Jesus everywhere I go." He said, "There's Jesus." And I don't know about you, it's... And I don't say this boastfully at all, but I had a guy I worked with several years ago. He looked at me one time, and he was a motorcycle rider himself. And he looked at me, and that time I had a Honda. You know, he had a Harley. And I've been witnessing to this old boy. He looked at me, he said, I worship the God of Thunder. I said, well, who's that? He said, Harley Davidson. I said, not me. I worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, you're one of those Jesus freaks, ain't you? I said, hallelujah. I said, praise God. Thank you for the compliment. You know, let me be a Jesus freak. Let me be a Jesus fanatic. Let me be overboard, if you would, for Jesus. Because when we meditate on Him, it produces obedience. Thirdly, in verse 8, obedience brings prosperity. Obedience brings prosperity. Again, it may not be the Escalade with the bass boat tied behind it, with the camper behind it, with whatever else you may want. It may not be that you're going to retire at 50 years old. It may not be. You know, listen to me, if God calls you to preach, you're never going to retire. You don't keep preaching until you're about 85 or 90 years old and they call Jimmy Sharers to come get you. You know. But listen. But the Word of God says it's God's will for us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul does prosper. And let me tell you something. I said this the other week. I said this last week. I think you may leave this world with a lot of things. And I know the pastor said he did a funeral yesterday. I've done a bunch too. And I ain't never seen nobody taking nothing with them. I read an article a few years ago about this guy that was stuffed. He literally was stuffed just like you would do an animal, you know, a taxidermy. And he was set on his Harley Davidson motorcycle, put in a glass box, and that's how he was put in the ground. Let me tell you something. If that man was right with God, when Jesus calls, that old body is going to get off that Harley and going to go on to be with Jesus. But that Harley is on nothing but rust in the ground. When we become dissatisfied with being satisfied and we pursue everything that God has for us, we are bound and destined to prosper. We are bound and destined to prosper. Prosper in Him. I may not be rich. I may not be wealthy. One of my, you know, I consider him a friend. Friend of mine, James Easter. And I don't know if any of y'all ever heard the Easter Brothers. But James Easter, he wrote that song that says, there's a roof up above me, and I have plenty to eat. I have food on my table and shoes on my feet. He said, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And if you ever know the story behind that song, it was when he had wandered far away from God as a young man. And this way, I mean, I tell you, if I had hair right now, it'd be standing up on my head. I can feel it even though I don't have it. And he said, as he was in prison, he was put in prison. And he said, I lay there in prison every night. He said, and I had a homemade knife under my pillow. He said, because I feared for my life the whole time I was in prison. He said, but the day that I was set free, and I come to realize I had a roof over my head, I had shoes on my feet, there was food on my table, and I had plenty to eat. He said, I didn't have a whole lot. He said, but I was a free man. He said, and I didn't feel threatened in my life anymore. And he said, and I began to write that song, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. God's been good to us. I don't want to be satisfied with status quo. I want to be dissatisfied with being satisfied. I want to be moving. Listen, the kingdom of God suffers violence, the scripture says, and the violent takes it by force. That means aggression. I want to be aggressive for Jesus. Don't mean I want to go out and punch somebody in the nose that don't agree with me. But I want to be aggressive for Jesus, because every single day around us, the enemy is snatching people out of this world that are entering into an eternity in hell. And I'm tired of it. I want to be aggressive for Jesus. I hope you do too. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? With your heads bowed and eyes closed in this room, or maybe you're watching driving down the road in your car or in your home by Facebook Live, or maybe you're listening later on in the week by podcast, EV Radio. But wherever you are this morning, but especially here in this room, if you realize you've been satisfied, you've just been cruising along, you've just been along for the ride, but this morning the Holy Spirit has moved in your heart, the Holy Spirit has moved in your life, the Word of God has found you out, and you say, Hey, Pastor, I need to move out for Jesus. I need to get out of my place of satisfaction. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You've never been saved before in your life. And you need to get saved this morning, because if you're not saved, let me tell you something. You're living in the satisfaction of unbelief. But if that's you this morning, if you're unsaved, maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need to move out of that place of satisfaction. If that's you, without any embarrassment at all, would you just raise up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to move out. Is there anyone in this room this morning? Is there one? Is there one? Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Now here's what I want to ask you to do, church. Look at me. Statistically, according to research that's been done through Lifeway Research, statistically, only one out of every 10 Christians ever personally win one soul to Jesus Christ in their life. Only one out of 10. So that means if you want somebody to Jesus Christ, statistically, look around you. There's nine people around you that's never won anybody to Jesus. Or if you've never won somebody personally to Jesus yourself, that means you're one of that nine. And I don't say that just to scold you, but what I am saying is sometimes we fall victim of being satisfied. I like all kinds of music, don't get me wrong. I like all genres of gospel music. I even like some rap, you know, if it's Christian rap, I like it as long as it's good. But you know, sometimes we've taken on the persona that if I can just get to heaven, that's all that really matters. And all around us, there's people like dying and going to hell. There's people dying and going to hell. What would you do to keep somebody out of hell? Does it mean that you would have to get dissatisfied with being satisfied? I don't ask you if you can and will. If you're ready to get dissatisfied with being satisfied, if you're ready to see your family, your sons, your daughters, your husband, your wife, your dad, your mom, your grandkids, if you're ready to see your neighbor that you don't even like, if you're ready to see some of those people get saved, and you're ready to move out of your place of satisfaction, I want you to meet me right down here, because we don't come to agreement in prayer. You see, when we become dissatisfied with being satisfied, here's what's going to happen. We're going to make a difference. Let me tell you something. If I'm dissatisfied with the way my yard looks after I get done mowing it, I'm going to mow it in a different direction. If that don't work, I'll get me a different lawnmower. If that don't work, I'll just get my wife to mow it, okay? It'll do something like that, okay? But my point is, I'm going to start making some changes. And if I'm satisfied with it, nothing's ever going to change. But when I become dissatisfied being satisfied, I don't start making some changes. And I'm talking about changes to move into God's presence and into the kingdom of God and doing and being what He wants me to be, and this church being what He wants it to be. So right now, where you're at, I just want, you know, there's a lot of hand signals. You know, if you play football, there's timeout. You know, there's timeout. That's a common one. You know, if you make a touchdown, you get this one. You know, there's different hand signals in life. But let me tell you something. This hand signal means that, okay, if you don't hand me something, Just go ahead and put it there in my hands, you know. But there's a different hand still. Been universal. Been universal. Don't matter if you go back and you watch Lash LaRue or Roy Rogers or... Yeah, so we watch a lot of old cowboy movies around. We don't watch a lot of TV, period. But we do watch, since we got rid of the satellite dish, we watch these old cowboy movies. And my wife knows them all, you know. She knows all of them cowboys. You know, Brett Maverick, all those guys. But anytime a man pulls a gun or anytime one of them cowboys feels threatened, there's one thing they do. That means I surrender. I surrender. Remember that old song we used to sing, I surrender all? I surrender all. I'm not asking you to do this. I'm not asking you to do a timeout. But right now, I'm just asking you to throw up your hands and say, Lord, I surrender. Go ahead and surrender to Him right now. Lord, I surrender. I don't want to be satisfied with being satisfied anymore. Lord, I surrender.